Pretend everything about it. No. Do you trust God? What I'm going to show you tonight, and it wraps around a story of a fellow whose name is Ahaziah. And there are so many names in this passage tonight that you're going to get lost in them. In fact, if you just look at chapter 8 of 2 Kings in verse 25, he mentions Joram, he mentions Ahab, he mentions Ahaziah, he mentions Jehoram, and that's four people right there just in that one verse. There's also a man named Omri, there's a woman named Athaliah, there's another man named Haziel, and there's a man named Jehoshaphat. There are eight different people at least in the story we're going to see tonight. And I can't keep track of it unless I put it on paper. I started to give you a handout. I thought, well, I hate to do that. Let's just see what the Lord does. There is lots of good printed material today, that Bible study tools, and they'll give you lists of the kings of Israel, lists of the kings of Judah, when they reigned, comparing things, comparing the kings of Israel and Judah to the line of Christ and so on. It's all very complicated. How many of you like puzzles? My hand should not be up. I don't like puzzles. My wife does Sudoku. Do you like puzzles, Mr. Jansen? You seem like the kind of person that can do that. My head gets tired real easy. I used to play chess when I was in high school. I was kind of mediocre at it, and so I quit playing when I got to college. And then we had in our church in Maryland a bunch of chess players. These guys loved to play chess, and they would clobber me. And I just told him, I don't like to play chess. It makes me work. My brain, just not, I don't like to be that, work that hard. Amen? So anyway, this is a sort of a puzzle. Now, you and I live in a day when, here we are in the 2000s, you know, in, what is this, 2021. And here we live in a year when, for hundreds of years, people have studied and written and studied and written. And any question that you've got, you can find some godly men. Be careful. There's a bunch of people that aren't godly that'll claim things that aren't true. Be careful who you listen to and who you let teach you. But there's a lot of people that have written a lot of things. There are people that have written books about subjects like the one I'm going to show you tonight. Now, I'm going to show you one of the things in the Bible that is going to call upon you to exercise some faith. You said you trust God, amen? You said you don't know, you don't understand everything, and I don't either. I can give you some explanations for what we're going to see tonight. But before I do that, and whether one of these is or isn't the answer, I can just tell you this. I don't necessarily know the answer, but God does. Amen? So when I'm reading the Bible and I see something and I don't understand it, I have two choices. I can say, oh, the Bible's got errors in it, and I can walk away from it. Or I can say, there's got to be something here that I don't understand as much as I should. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? It's like, you read things, you read books. I'm amazed at how people can be so accurate, and they take a lot of time to do this, to edit a book and to make sure there's no mistakes in it. And then maybe you've been reading a book sometime and you've seen a spelling error or a punctuation error and you thought, oh, I caught them. But folks, I believe the Bible's a perfect book. I know there have been some printers that have made some mistakes along the way, but the Bible's a perfect book. So let me just read you two verses. And let's see what you think about these, okay? Here we go. Now, you got to go back and forth with me. So first, look at 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 26. Keep your finger in Chronicles. I'm going to go one and then the other, and then we're going to pray, okay? 2 Kings 8, I got to read verse 25. It says, in the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, begin to reign. Verse 26, here we go. 2 and 20 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. Okay, 2 and 20 years old. All right, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 21. I'm sorry, 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. 2 Chronicles 22, 2. Are you there? 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. Do you see the difference? Okay. Why did God say 42? That's the question. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening that we know we can trust you. We don't understand a lot of things. We don't understand things about our life. We don't understand why we go through things. We don't understand some of the suffering and some of the sacrifice and some of the pain. And we don't understand so many things. We don't understand why people can be so careless and apathetic about the Bible and about church and about spiritual things. And we don't understand how people can claim to be saved and then not live for you at all. And Lord, we don't understand a lot of things, and this is one of those things tonight, Lord, that we don't understand, but we know that you have a reason for this. We don't understand necessarily what that reason is, and we can guess at it, but I pray tonight that before we trust our understanding, we would trust you. Help us to trust you, to understand. You gave us your word. You promise to preserve the Bible. You claim plainly over and over that it is the Word of God, not the Word of men. And we just pray that you would bless in what we do tonight. Give us wisdom. I pray each one here, from youngest to oldest, would get something valuable from this time. God, forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Make us vessels fit for the Master's use. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, a little background here. You got, again, it's just plain as day. You can look this thing up on the internet, and there's all sorts of opinions. 2 Kings 8, 26 says 2 and 20 years. And 2 Chronicles 21, 20, 22, 2 says 40 and 2 years. Okay, so 22 or 42, that's the question, right? Don't go. Don't start. Okay, I spent hours on this week. Don't get me in trouble. I'm already struggling here, okay? All right. First of all, what language was the Old Testament written in? Hebrew, okay? Now, a little background. There's a whole lot of discussion about the New Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek. Lots of manuscripts, over 5,000 of them out there. This is not the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. So anything you know about the manuscripts in the New Testament, you got to just throw that out the window for a while. We're talking about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, the Old Testament, the Jews, what they would do is when a copy of the Bible became worn out. How many of you got one of those Bibles at home? The pages are falling out. Yeah, I've got one of those and you don't know what to do with it. Well, they revered the Word of God, and they would take a damaged Bible, a damaged Old Testament, and they'd put it in a room, special designated room in the synagogue called a geniza. And they would put it in that room, and then at a certain point in time, they would take them out and they would destroy them. So there are very, very few copies of the Old Testament in manuscript form. You don't go digging around and find one because they destroyed them all. There was a situation in Cairo where a synagogue had some Bibles in a geniza, and I forgot what happened, an invasion or storm or something, and it buried that room before they had a chance to destroy those copies of the Old Testament. But there are a few like those that people have found. One of the most famous ones is called the Aleppo Codex. When you hear the word codex, just remember a codex is a book that has pages. It's not a scroll, okay? The Aleppo Codex, I've seen a facsimile of it in a museum in Israel. It's a copy of the Old Testament written in Hebrew. Hebrew, unlike English, we read left to right, they read right to left. And anyway, Hebrew copies of the Bible are rare. Every single one that anybody has seen on this verse says 42. In Kings it says 22, and in Chronicles, it says 42. This is not a question of some scribe making a mistake. If you got your, not yours, I hope, but if you found an NIV and you went to the footnotes, the NIV says in 2 Chronicles 22:2, it says, it changes the number from 42 to 22. So if you were reading an NIV, it would say in 2 Chronicles 22:2, it would say 20 in 2 years rather than 40 in 2 years. And then there's a footnote at the bottom of the page. It says the Hebrew manuscripts all say 42. So what that's called a conjectural emendation, which is a change they make just because they think they're right. But God said 42. Okay, so we got this conflict between those two numbers, 2 Kings 8 and 2 Chronicles. Let's just look at a few things here. I'm going to tell you the story and kind of get you going about this fellow named Ahaziah. Some people think this is an error, but God made the obvious choice to write 42 in this passage. No one has ever seen a manuscript that says 22. In the Bible, they're different. And I will freely tell you right now, and you better agree with me, because we're all in the same boat, we don't have all the answers. I've had people say such foolish things to me like, well, how can God create things just by speaking? You know what? When you get and see him, stand before him one day, ask him that question, and he's going to show you very quickly, and then you're going to apologize on your way to hell. Because, folks, we don't question God. We just believe God. Amen? There's so much in the Bible I do understand. It's like I quote Mark Twain all the time, his famous saying. He said, it wasn't the parts of the Bible I didn't understand that bothered me. It's the parts of the Bible I do understand that worry me. I don't think he ever got saved, by the way, sadly. But anyway, here we go. All the manuscripts say 42, so we're going to settle on that for a minute. The translators and the scribes could read it. Now, if this was a slip, oh, it's just a mistake, somebody wrote 42 instead of 22, I want to show you something that's really obvious here. You're in 2 Chronicles, please go back to 2 Chronicles 20. Now go to chapter 21. 2 Chronicles 21. I got to find my place. Here we go. At the beginning of, I'm sorry, at the end of chapter 21, the beginning of chapter 22, let's go back a verse. And we could go back a couple. We talked about this fellow before. This is the fellow that we talked about last week. His name is Jehoram. And Jehoram in chapter 21, 2 Chronicles 21. We all there? Okay, here we go. Jehoram, in verse 18, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. In 2 Chronicles 21:19, in the process of time, after 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, because he was so wicked, by the way. So he died of sore diseases. His people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. In other words, they were kind of glad he was gone. It's just they just kind of put him aside and went on. Now look at verse 20. Stay with me. Listen carefully. Joram, he is Ahaziah's father. Everybody okay? Okay, here we go. So we're talking about Ahaziah's father. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. You all see that in verse 20? And he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. How old was he when he died? 40, no doubt about that. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchers of the kings. Now you just read, and by the way, I would suspect if you were a translator, if you were a scribe, if you were a commentator, commentators are people that write books about what the Bible says. When you read the end of chapter 21, you know that Ahaziah's father died when he was 40, don't you? No doubt about that. So 2 verses later, 40 and 2 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. Do you see the problem? If his dad died at the age of 40, how can he be 42? You with me? Anybody copying this, anybody translating this, they just finished reading the last verse in chapter 21. It's really clear that Ahaziah can't be physically 42 years old because his father died when his father was 40. He'd have had to be born 2 years before his father to be older than him. right? So I would suggest something. God did this. It's obvious. A scribe, he just finished translating about the death of Jehoram. And he just finished translating that verse in chapter 21 and verse 20 about how Jehoram died when he was 40. And that same guy is copying the Bible. And two verses later, he writes that 42 years old was his son. That can't be. So, God did this. Now, let's set that on the table, and you'll be thinking about that, but I'm going to get you out of here in time tonight, so don't worry. And let's just talk about this fellow for a little bit and see what we can find out about him. And then I'll come back and I'll read you some thoughts and we'll be done. Okay, first of all, Ahaziah. He is connected to a man named Omri. You see that at the end of 2 Kings 8:26, and you see that at the end of 2 Chronicles 22:2. Both of them say his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. Omri was an interesting man that was the king of Israel, and Omri had been king before Ahab. Now, what do we know about Ahab? Somebody tell me about Ahab. Wicked. Yeah, just real quick, wicked. Well, where'd he get that? Well, let's see. The Bible says, I'll read it to you, don't turn there. In chapter 16 of 1 Kings, Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. Omri was a wicked man. He raised a son named Ahab. Ahab was a wicked man. Ahab married a lady named Jezebel. Remember her? I told you before, we had a lady in our church in Maryland named Jezebel. She was from the Philippines. She spelled it D-Y-E-S. And Jezebel from the Philippines got saved. And so we had a good Jezebel in our church, but this Jezebel was wicked. And so they got married, and they had Athaliah and Ahaziah. Ahaziah, the man that we're thinking about tonight, but there were two Ahaziahs, don't forget, and the one they had is not the one we're talking about. I misspoke just now. Ahaziah that we know is the son of Jehoram and Athaliah, and Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab. See, like I said, it gets confusing really quick, but here's what you got. Ahab was wicked because Omri was wicked, and Ahab married a wicked woman named Jezebel, and they had some wicked children, and then those wicked children married some people, and a lot of wickedness going on. And this is in God's kingdom. This is in Israel and Judah. And so Israel is where Ahab had been, and Jezebel and Athaliah. And so now Athaliah marries somebody in Judah, and they have Ahaziah, and he's the one we're talking about, Ahaziah. And so he's got a lot of wicked influences in his life. Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, she's called the daughter of Omri, and so God keeps looking back at Omri. He's the fellow that started it all. Wicked begat wicked, begat wicked. You look at it, you see, have you ever said, we've said this recently, it looks like things are getting worse in our nation? Because we have a president, for example, that supports abortion. The killing of innocent unborn children is wicked. Amen? We have all this discussion now about how they have to give preferential treatment to folks that are doing things that God calls an abomination. And we look at our nation and we think things are getting worse. You should have lived in Israel about now. Things were bad. And Ahab and Omri and that group, they're the ones that brought this all to pass. And so Ahaziah is a man that is influenced by all this. Now, I'm going to look in 2 Chronicles. If you're in 2 Chronicles 22, you're in the right place. If I got you in Kings, please go back and let's look at what the Bible says about this fellow. It says in 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 1, the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah his, and you go back to Jehoram there in the last verse of chapter 21, that made Jehoram's youngest son king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp and slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned 42 years was Ahaziah. There's our 42 again. When he began to reign, he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. The mother's name was also Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. We got to remember he's the one that started this wicked pattern. He, that's Ahaziah, walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. What do we know about the house of Ahab again? Wicked, idolatrous, worshipped Baal, tried to kill the prophets and so on. So he did, in verse 4, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. They were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Be careful who you listen to. What's a counselor? I was talking to Pastor Nail the other day, and I would suggest this. Be very careful about this, because there are a lot of people out there that are doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it for money, or they're doing it for prestige, perhaps. But godly counsel, the Bible says that a multitude of counselors, there's safety. And you know what a good Christian counselor would do? They would show you from the Bible what to do. Because truly the Bible's our counselor, isn't it? Would you agree with me that if people would listen to the counsel in the Bible, they would have a better life? They definitely would have a better eternity. But the wages of sin is death. And we talk about the consequences of sin all the time around here. Consequences of sin is not going to be good. And so a Christian counselor, a counselor is someone that guides you. Brother Mendez just got back from camp, and they had counselors there. How many of you have ever been a camp counselor? Ever been a camp counselor before? Just a few, okay. When I was a camp counselor in Utah for a number of years, and I would try to get to know the young men in my cabin at the beginning of the camp, I'd find out which ones were saved and which ones weren't, if there were any that weren't saved. And then throughout the week, we would use the Bible to try to help them go the right direction in their life. Right now, even as we sit here, back in the classroom, Carlos is back there and he's using the Bible to counsel young men. Amen? So be careful who you listen to. Who did Ahaziah listen to? It says in verse 4, the house of Ahab were his counselors, and it was after the death of his father. And then look at those last three words, to his destruction. What does the devil want to do in your life? He wants to destroy. He'd like to destroy your testimony. He'd like to destroy your effectiveness. He'd like to destroy your family. He'd like to destroy your children. He'd like to destroy anything he can. He's all about destroying God's people. And so, you know, one of the things he'll try and do, try to get your ear. Maybe you'll listen to this. Maybe you'll listen to that. You walk in a Christian bookstore, that's one of the most dangerous places on earth. A Christian bookstore is a very dangerous place, because all these books present themselves as counselors. And a lot of them have bad counsel. A lot of them have counsel to get you in trouble. A lot of the problems that happen in churches that I've seen in the last 30 or 40 years came from people that listened to bad counsel and then tried to bring it to church and enact it. I've seen some terrible things happen because of that. Be careful who counsels you. Now look at verse 5. Ahaziah, this is the man, walked also after their counsel. And let's just stop right there. It's one thing to listen. It's another thing to choose the direction that you're going to go in, right? So you ask somebody, I've asked people before, what's the best way to get to, Salt Lake City? And one time I was coming from Salt Lake City back to Phoenix. This was a long time ago. Back in the 1980s. We lived here for a short while. And somebody said, oh, there's a really good shortcut that goes across, and I can't remember the names of the cities right now, but it goes through a place called Panguitch. You ever heard of Panguitch? Anyway, it's in Utah, and it's a beautiful little town. The trouble is, this shortcut goes over a mountain pass, and you go up about 3,000 or 4,000 feet, and I decided to take this road at about 11 o'clock at night, because somebody said, that's a good way to go. It's a bad way to go. And it cost me a couple of hours having to do these switchbacks and wondering if it was even going to be a road that stayed paved all the way, which it barely did. And And you got to be careful who you listen to. Amen? I've told you my GPS story of driving through New Jersey just looking for some place to go. The GPS would say, turn left, and we'd go right. And the GPS would say, turn right, and we'd go left. And the GPS finally says, there is a better way. And it sounded like it was a little bit angry with me. And I thought, turn the GPS off. I know where I'm. We're just looking. We're sightseeing. We don't care where we end up. If you care where you end up, God says there's a better way. And he may not need to be angry about that. It's just a matter of fact. 2 Chronicles 21:5. He walked after their counsel. So he heard them. He followed them. Look at verse 5 again. And went with Jehoram. Now be careful. Jehoram and Joram have the same name, and sometimes they're interchanged. And so I'm not going to try to explain this. Just be careful with that name. The son of Ahab, king of Israel. He went to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians smote Joram. And he returned to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given him at Ramah. Verse 6. Now stop right there. Jezreel, I've been there. It's a beautiful place. It's on the edge of a mountain, sort of, and you can see down into a valley. And off to the left is Joppa. Yes, Joppa. And off to the right is, it goes off in towards the valley of the Jordan River. Napoleon stood there and called it the perfect battleground. Guess what's going to happen at Jezreel one day? You know it by a different name. Armageddon. That's where the battle's going to take place. And this is where the palace was, is Jezreel. They had stables, and it was a beautiful place, and they have a tunnel that goes down into a well, and it's a good place. If you ever go to Israel, make sure you visit there. But anyway, he goes back to his place where he's from to be healed in verse 6 because he was wounded. And now watch this. Look at verse 7. The destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram, because look in back in the previous verse, these folks had gotten together. Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to Jehoram, the son of Ahab, Jezreel, because he was sick. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram, for when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. Now, we're going to learn more about Jehu later on. But here's what's interesting to me. Wouldn't it be sad to say God's against you? I know the devil's against you, but you don't want God against you, do you? Folks, the Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? But I can turn that around and make sense out of it too. If God be against us, who can be for us? It doesn't matter what you do. Now, by the way, if you're saved and you're a child of God, you may be disobedient, but that doesn't mean God became your enemy. But this fellow, God is against him. I'll show you something fascinating at the end of the message that shows how much God was against him. But anyway, it says here in verse, 7, that the destruction of Ahaziah, this man we've been studying, was of God. God was in this. God planned it. God was looking for him. And he used Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. Now we go back and remember, Ahab is Omri's son. So God says, I've had enough of Omri's son and Omri's grandson and Omri's great-grandson. We're done with these people. And God plans on replacing them. If our nation, you and I might say, you know, it seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. You know, God could fix it up. Amen? I think that the question really is not about the leaders, but about the people. In other words, if the Bible says, if my people were called by my name, would humble themselves and seek my face, I'd heal their land. And so it's kind of up to us to be right with God. So now, verse 8, it came to pass when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, he found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah. He slew them. Now, this is not like what happened before when Athaliah killed all those people. These are wicked people that God said, they're done, and they're slain. Again, the end is near. Verse 9, he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria. Samaria is where Jezreel is, by the way. And brought him to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him. And stop right there. So Ahaziah is dead. He reigned 1 year. And that is the end of Ahaziah. That is the end of his dynasty. That's the end of Omri's connection with the kings of Judah. And now we finish up with this statement. They said, because he's a son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart, and that's why they buried him. Not because of him or his father or his grandfather, but way back there, there was a connection to a man that was godly. And they remembered Jehoshaphat, and so they took care of him. And it says, the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep, to still keep or keep still the kingdom. In other words, that's the end of that reign. Now, just a couple of thoughts. The question is, why did God say 42? First of all, I say this a lot. When the Bible is silent, we should be also. There are people that have worried about this throughout the years, and I'll tell you some of them and what they said. You may know that when the King James Bible was translated, that there was another Bible that was in use at that time called the Geneva Bible. It was translated right before the King James Bible. I've got a replica of it at my house. It reads pretty good. It's got some problems in it, but it reads pretty good. And the Geneva Bible has some notes about this, and here's what they say. He was made king when his father reigned, but after his father's death, he was confirmed king when he was 42 years old. So perhaps he became king, co-regent with his father 20 years earlier, and then finally became king when he was 42. Doesn't matter. I don't know. I wasn't there. This is one person's opinion. There's some other opinions here. There is a suggestion by a man named Lightfoot that the 42nd year of the kingdom of his mother's family is what we're talking about. And it's interesting. I'm not going to do it for you here. You can do it if you like. But if you go back to Omri, it was 42 years that family had reigned. And when Ahaziah became the king, it was the 42nd year of that family's reign. I don't know. The Bible's silent. We should be also. You can look at some other things. Two or three other thoughts. There's a man named Lightfoot, and he tied it back to Omri. There's a guy named Poole, and he tied it back to Omri. It does seem likely because, after all, Omri's mentioned in both of those verses. So what's the answer? I started with the answer. First, I trust God. Amen? I've been reading this Bible. I'm 60-something years old. I've been reading this Bible since I could read, plus a few years, and I haven't seen an error in it yet. I don't understand why, and this is probably the most pronounced of all that you might find as far as trying to explain it. And again, there are some good books written about this that explain it better than I have tonight. I'm not going to take the time to do that. But I am interested in the fact that this wicked reign comes to an end with this fellow. Now, I won't take you there, but let me tell you a couple of more things and we'll be done. In the New Testament, there is the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. It starts out, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judas and his brother, and Judas begat Phares, and it goes on. And talks about the line of Christ. And in Matthew chapter 1, here's what you see. When you get down to around verse 7, you see the Lord Jesus Christ is the king, amen? And he comes from a line of kings. Guess who's missing? If you read through the kings of Judah, and that's the kingdom that Jesus came through, this is the tribe of Judah, you got a man named Rehoboam, we know about him. You got a man named Abijah. He's also the Abijah of the New Testament. A man named Asa. A man named Jehoshaphat. We just talked about him. A man named Jehoram. We just talked about him. Guess who the line of Christ skips? Doesn't mention at all. Ahaziah, the man we're talking about tonight. He's not mentioned. Athaliah, that wicked woman. Joash. And Amaziah. And I was almost ready to tell you that they were all four very wicked people that God excluded, but the truth of the matter is one of them is not. Joash wasn't so bad. But this man that we're talking about tonight, he's not even named in the line of Christ. He doesn't belong there. I got to tell you, I wonder if he was saved. I don't know a whole lot about that. God does. But then it picks back up with a man we know very well named Uzziah, King Uzziah. We'll talk about him later on sometime, and Jotham and so on. So here's Ahaziah, a wicked man, married a wicked woman, listened to wicked counsel, had a mother that really was wicked. And God says, we're going to take care of all this, and we're going to take this fellow out of the picture. How old was he when he began to reign? Couldn't have been 42. Probably talking about the reign of Omri and his conclusion, because that's the 42 that we see in the Bible. And I could stand here tonight and tell you that, oh, I know the answer and that's it. But where the Bible is silent, I will be also. But do you trust the book? I don't know of any other instance in the Bible that is nearly so difficult to understand in terms of two statements that don't agree with each other. I know of one other one in Jeremiah. We won't talk about that right now. It's a little bit confusing. But this one right here, I'm just going to tell you, I trust God. Do you think some people are going to stand before God one day that rejected him? I told you about my high school friend that thinks that the reason the Bible is wrong is because he doesn't like the way that the Old Testament law dealt with slaves. He just thought it's wrong to beat slaves, and since the Bible says a slave can be beaten, he's convinced the Bible can't be the Word of God. I would hate to explain or try to explain to God one day that I rejected his son because I didn't like the way he wrote about slaves. And then as he and I began to discuss that, I found out he was using a version of the Bible that didn't even read right. And you got to be careful about that. So what do we know? We know Ahaziah was wicked. We know that he came from that line of Omri who his mother came from, and she was wicked. And we know that 42 years into Omri's family's reign, Ahaziah ceased to live because of his wickedness, and God straightened everything out. It's another one of those lessons that we've learned in the past. Just a couple of thoughts, and we'll be done. Interesting, he couldn't have been 42, so we believe physically he was 22. Even a 22-year-old, who's here is 22? Anybody here 22? How old are you? 21, okay. You're 22? I knew Mr. Hill was 22. He looks like he's 22, doesn't he? And do you know when you're 22, you're still accountable to God? In fact, when you're 12, you're accountable to God. Amen? One of the kings began to reign when he was 8. And it was a good king because he followed the Lord. Then things happened later in his life that were a little cloudy. But young people are accountable to God. And quite often in our churches, we make the mistake. I don't know, how old do you think Carlos is? What's Carlos just in his early 20s probably? 22? You know, God can do great things with a 22-year-old. Or the devil can do terrible things with a 22-year-old. When you're 22, you're accountable to God. And that may not surprise us too much, but that's what we see here. I've already mentioned, be careful who you marry. He shouldn't have married into the house of Ahab. Be careful who you follow. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. And then be careful, your wickedness affects your children. If you had to find somebody to point a finger at in this whole story, probably going to look back to Omri. Omri chose not to follow God. And then his son just walked in his footsteps. And his son walked in his footsteps. And before you know it, here's Ahaziah just doing what everybody else had done. Does that give him an excuse, by the way? You know, I've seen some of the greatest servants of God come from wicked families. And I've seen some pretty wicked people come from godly families. There's a man in Florida, and he's a pastor in Pensacola, that he helped me and I helped him. So anyway, he told me this story. He's a pastor of a good church, strong church. What's the name of that church? Samaria, I don't know. He pastors his church, does a great job, big church, doing well. He's got a brother. He told me the story. He said his brother chose to be wicked, and his brother wound up in jail, and his parents had bail him out, and hire an attorney and get him out of trouble and go back to jail again and trouble somewhere else. And he said, my parents ran out of money. And the young man stayed wicked. And then his parents died. And there was just nothing anybody could do for this young man anymore. And he was in prison when I heard the story. And here's his brother who's a preacher. Every one of us has a choice, don't we? We can choose to follow God. We can choose to walk in the ways of the house of Ahab. It's our choice. And by the way, Ahab's biggest sin was idolatry. That's something you want to remember. Almost out of time, just really quick, say this. You can't say that because your parents were evil, it's okay to be evil. You cannot say that your wickedness doesn't affect your children. Be very careful who you follow. Isn't it amazing? Of all the little facts we've seen tonight, the one that jumps off the page at me is this. You got this list of kings in Matthew chapter 1 that are in the line of Christ. He begat. And all of a sudden you get to Ahaziah and he's missing. Sometimes people think, oh, if I would be wicked, I would get some things. Isn't that generally the idea? Eve, oh, if I ate from this tree, I would be wise. And it's obviously a tree to be desired. It's going to be some benefit for me. And that's the way the devil sells sin. He offers you a benefit. Have you ever thought about this? What are the benefits of obeying God? Amen? See, the devil doesn't ever mention that. You know, they say, oh, if you smoke, you're going to have a good time. And, oh, if you do drugs or if you drink, you're going to have a good time. What about people that just follow God? That's a good life. And you don't pay all the price of the sin that everybody else pays. The devil's never going to mention that. In the line of Christ, being listed in the Bible, he's not there. His name is not in that list. And when I saw that, I thought, I think perhaps you're going to get to heaven and somewhere along the way you can ask the Lord and he'll tell you, here's why it says 42. But it seems to me like God brings our attention to this fellow right there in that verse. And it's obviously not a mistake because everyone can see how old his father was. I mean, it's obvious. The Bible says 42. God said 42. Maybe he's thinking about Omri. Maybe he's thinking about his mother. I don't know. But it sure brings our attention to him, doesn't it? And then God says, let's look at this fellow's life. Look what he missed. Look what he chose and what it cost him. And by the way, he reigned 1 year. And that was it. He had made his choice. He had his year. And he died. It's sad. There's a lot of sad things about this man. Just once again, that theme keeps coming up. Sin brings sadness. Be careful what you choose. Amen? Why does it say 42, Pastor? I'm not sure. But that's what God said. And we all get to heaven one of these days, we'll find out the truth. And maybe one of these fellows that guessed, like Lightfoot or Poole, maybe they were right. Maybe the Geneva Bible's comment was right. It doesn't really matter to me. I trust God. He had a reason for it. And one day we'll find out what it is. Amen?